are listening to SBS.
Luxury starts every night with a great night's sleep. Discover the Sleepmaker Luxury Collection. First class sleep, available only at Harvey Norman. Proudly Australian made, the Mayfair and St Regis mattresses are thoughtfully crafted to deliver exceptional comfort, premium support, and the luxury of truly undisturbed sleep. Sleepmaker's latest sleep technology, Q4, eliminates partner disturbance, enhances airflow, and conforms more precisely to your body, so you fall asleep easier, sleep cooler, and sleep deeper, creating the perfect sleep sanctuary in your own home. Because luxury isn't just how a mattress feels, it's how you feel when you wake up. Sleepmaker Luxury, exclusively at Harvey Norman. Shop in-store and online.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
S&P ASX 200 closed flat amid escalating tensions between the US and Iran. I'll have the details with Henry Jennings from Marcus Today in a moment. But first, a lift in consumer confidence is expected to be short-lived, as economists warn those geopolitical tensions overseas can quickly reverse the improvements. According to the monthly measure by Westpac and the Melbourne Institute, consumer sentiment rose 4.1% in July to 83.9. A reading below 100 means pessimists still outnumber optimists, despite lower petrol prices in recent months, providing some relief for households. For more, I spoke with Westpac senior economist Matthew Hassan. So, Matt, consumer confidence is up, but Aussies are still deeply pessimistic. Why is that? And given the new developments in the Middle East, do you think that improvement is short-lived?
It does look a little bit tentative, I have to say. It's a small improvement month to month, but consumers, by and large, are still very pessimistic. There was some positive news over the last month or so. The retreat in petrol prices locally in particular, I think, has been of comfort for particularly for those consumers where fuel is a big part of their expenditure basket. That's some direct relief. But outside of that, you know, the interest rate situation is unchanged. The RBA is still warning that further hikes are possible. And the situation in the Middle East is still very uncertain. So sort of looking ahead, consumers are a little bit more positive about the forward view, less fearful that they're going to get clobbered by more rate hikes. And as at the early part of the survey, there did look to be a bit more promise around the Middle East situation, but that definitely sort of tapered off across over the course of the survey week. And I suspect if we ran the survey again this week, we'd find more evidence of deterioration. So overall, some hints of improvement, but very tentative and I think still quite fragile.
Do you think the fear of higher interest rates has peaked, or could one more hike knock confidence again?
Look, certainly on our survey responses, the rate rise fears have eased a little bit. Most Australians still expect interest rates to move higher over the next 12 months. But we did have a sizable group of respondents saying they expected the mortgage rate to rise by over a full percentage point over the next 12 months. And that fearfulness seems to have calmed down a little bit. But overall, I think there will be a bit of a test. We think the RBA's more likely to raise rates than leave them on hold at their next meeting in August. The June quarter CPI is going to be absolutely pivotal to that. But the RBA has been warning that they're prepared to raise rates further if needed. And a lot of the communication we've had over the last few weeks has sort of doubled down on that message. So I think, the rate rise fears may have subsided a little bit, but I think that we're not through it just yet. And if we get a rate hike in August, they're likely to reignite, depending on how that's messaged from the RBA at the time.
Interestingly, people are feeling a bit better about their jobs. However, they are still reluctant to make major purchases. What does that tell us about the financial pressure that households are under?
So I think it's quite an interesting finding. The last 5 years, really, even through the previous cost of living squeeze, consumers were never that concerned about job security. We did see a few months ago when the oil price shock really impacted, there was a spike in job loss fears, or a significant rise in job loss fears, a little bit more unsettled about what that might mean for jobs, but it's unwound and we're back near long run averages. Again, I think consumers are not overly troubled about their job situation. But as you said, their appetite for spending is pretty low right now. And I think that's really telling us that what's weighing on incomes, the squeeze, is coming from cost of living issues. It's not that they're losing jobs or losing income. It's that income's not stretching as far as it has previously. Even outside of the fuel price story, CPI ex fuel and ex holidays and volatiles is up 4% on a year ago. So inflation is prices of goods and services are still running ahead of incomes in most cases. And I think that's the nature of the squeeze that we're seeing at the moment. Very similar, not as acute as it was through 2022 to 2024, but it's the same thematic. And I think the mix of job security, but an unwillingness to spend is really tapping into that cost of living pressure rather than more intense job-related budget pressures.
Home buyers' sentiment is also improving. Do you think prospective home buyers are finally seeing a window of opportunity?
Not quite. I think this is mostly some recovery from a further shock in May. The RBA's May rate hike coupled with the tax policy changes saw buyer sentiment pull back, fall to very low levels by historical standards. We've seen a couple of gains since then, so they've calmed down a little bit, but it's still very negative. Even in states where we're seeing some improvement in affordability, so particularly New South Wales and Victoria, Sydney and Melbourne prices are moving a bit lower at the moment. The index reads for those states are around 90. So pessimists still outweigh optimists around time to buy. So maybe some faint glimmers of improvement there in those particular states, but more broadly, the sentiment is still very negative. It doesn't suggest buyers are about to move back into the market in a meaningful way. I think it's still some way off yet.
With the ongoing uncertainty in the Middle East and the looming inflation data, what do you think we can expect out of the RBA board meeting when it next meets in August?
Look, we think the RBA is very uneasy about inflation threats at the moment. The reignited conflict in the Middle East will add to its unease that this inflation that's coming via the fuel prices will add to already elevated inflation domestically and see high inflation a little bit more persistent than they would like. They've made it very clear that they're prepared to raise rates further if needed. And the other messaging from the RBA speeches in recent weeks has really spoken to that unease of a more persistent inflation path. We think that the RBA will move rates higher again at its August meeting and will be prepared to move higher still if they are really concerned that high inflation is becoming embedded in our economy. It's really about the starting point for Australia. We had a high inflation problem coming into this, and the RBA was manoeuvring already to tamp that down. The fuel price story and the Middle East story is just making that a little bit more difficult for the RBA, and they need to act a little bit more decisively and forcefully around policy to achieve that return to target. It's not a fait accompli, though. That June quarter CPI will be very important to their assessment at the August meeting. We think it'll be too hot to handle and that there's a low tolerance for anything that's on the high side. But you never know, we could jag a good news story from the June quarter. So it's still not quite a 50-50 call, but it is still a live meeting in August. We think on balance, the case will be for a rate hike, though.
That was Matt Hassan from Westpac. To the Australian share market now, which paired back earlier losses to close completely flat, the ASX 200 finishing the session at 8,808.5 points, following a weak session in the US. Despite that, 7 of the 11 sectors closed higher, led by energy, as crude prices saw their biggest one-day hike since 2020. A barrel of Brent crude is trading at $64.5, which is about a 6.5% rise compared to yesterday. The Australian dollar also rose slightly against the greenback to 69.35 US cents, as those higher oil prices stoke inflation fears and increase the odds of a US interest rate rise. It all comes ahead of key inflation data from the US later tonight and US Fed Chair Kevin Warsh's appearance before the House Financial Services Committee to deliver his semi-annual report on monetary policy. For more on the day's market action, I spoke with Henry Jennings, the Senior Market Analyst at Marcus Today. Henry, the ASX is down today. What's driving the market?
Well, I guess the problem with the market remains the conflict in the Middle East and the rising oil price, which is having a nasty effect on interest rates being pushed higher in terms of US yields. So we are seeing some of the inflation plays under some pressure, although the market is shrugging it off to some extent, and we are seeing some dip buyers. The banks remain a little bit under pressure, but it has been all about resources, and higher inflation is not good for resources, not good for gold, although gold prices are hanging in just around that 4,000 level. So that is encouraging, to say the least, but I guess we're waiting to see what developments happen out of the Middle East in the next few days.
You mentioned the oil price. The Strait of Hormuz is back in focus as geopolitical tensions erupt again. It's sent crude prices soaring to their biggest one-day increase since 2020. How much of this is about fear, and how much is about the real risk of oil supply disruptions?
Well, I think there's a little bit of both. Certainly, countries generally have been running down their strategic reserves, and as a result, that there's no sort of powder to sort of let loose in terms of letting extra oil into the system. There was already, supply problems with oil, obviously before the resumption of the kinetic activity in the Gulf. So, when you look at the maritime map, there's an awful lot of ships that are outside the Gulf waiting to get in and pick up oil. And one of the problems, of course, is that production is increasing in the Middle East, and that has to be stored somewhere. And once that storage is full again, as we have seen in the past, then they have to stop production, and it is a bit of a problem. So at the moment, it is a problem, but it's not insurmountable if we saw some peace break out in the next few days.
Now, usually in these uncertain times, we see the price of gold go up, but it's going down because, as you mentioned, there are those inflation fears, and there's also the likelihood of higher interest rates in the US. In fact, overnight, one of the Federal Reserve governors, Christopher Waller, made some remarks that a hike should be on the table if tonight's CPI figures show persistent price pressures. What's the market expecting from that data, and what are the odds of a rate hike this month?
Well, I guess there's always a chance that we get a rate hike. I think both the RBA and the Fed are going to remain cautious in terms of the rate. No doubt the CPI is going to be, I guess it could be a little worrying for the US, and we have got a new Federal Reserve chief at the helm, so he's going to be looking at things a little differently to some of the ways that Jerome Powell looked at it in the past. We've also got his semi-annual testimony to the US Congress and Senate coming up as well. So that's going to put a greater spotlight on it. But certainly the odds of a US rate increase have increased, that is for sure. And when you look at the circumstances of the US, their inflation rate is running way above that 2% price target that they have. And the economy is going along at a fair old clip due to the AI investment. Unemployment is still very, very low. And there is no justification really for a US rate cut, apart from the fact that Donald Trump wants one. So I think the pressure will still remain to be on rate rises no matter what the CPI comes out at tonight.
How about the RBA? Do you think that these new developments in the Middle East could create a further inflation headache? And what do we expect at next month's board meeting?
I think the RBA is probably going to remain on the sidelines at the next month unless something dramatic happens. We have seen an easing, I guess, in some of the inflation expectations, and we have seen the oil price ease back, although, in the last couple of days it has spiked. But you can't base your policy on a couple of days of a spiking oil price because of resumption in the war in the Middle East. So I think they're going to be cautious, and we've seen it before. Anything can happen with Donald Trump with a tweet. He could be back on the peace train tomorrow and talking to the Iranians as opposed to closing the strait and imposing tolls of 20% on shipping. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work out. That certainly is inflationary if that was the case. So there's a lot of water to flow through the strait, as they say, but I think the RBA at the moment certainly will remain cautious ahead of the events unfolding in the Middle East.
So, with all of this going on, what are you telling your clients right now, and where are the opportunities for investors?
Well, we've just dialed back the risk somewhat in some of our client portfolios and some of our funds that we run. So we have dialed it back a little bit, mainly because of the uncertainty. Also, it is southern, it's the northern hemisphere summer. Things can get a little less liquid, and things can get a little more volatile as a lot of people are away on holiday. So we've just dialed back the risk slightly. We're still very much engaged with the same themes as we have been in the past in terms of AI technology coming out of the US, mainly, not so much here, but we have played a little bit safer and a little bit of a straighter bat in this current period of time, which seems prudent given the risks that are out there.
That was Henry Jennings from Marcus Today, and he wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Give it a like, a review, and subscribe if you like it. The podcast returns tomorrow after the market close every weekday. And don't forget, you can watch On the Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. Thank you for joining me.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should be. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Luxury starts every night with a great night's sleep. Discover the Sleepmaker Luxury Collection. First class sleep, available only at Harvey Norman. Proudly Australian made. The Mayfair and St Regis mattresses are thoughtfully crafted to deliver exceptional comfort, premium support, and the luxury of truly undisturbed sleep. Sleepmaker's latest sleep technology, Q4, eliminates partner disturbance, enhances airflow, and conforms more precisely to your body, so you fall asleep easier, sleep cooler, and sleep deeper, creating the perfect sleep sanctuary in your own home. Because luxury isn't just how a mattress feels, it's how you feel when you wake up. Sleepmaker Luxury. Exclusively at Harvey Norman. Shop in store and online.